Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnywell and Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Show returns here on PBS Radio. We got a packed show. We're going to have congressional candidate Casper Stockham, and we've got Trevor Loudon from New Zealand
coming
later
up.
On. So yeah. That's going to be great.
Trevor's speaking at a couple of events here. Casper has all kinds of things to talk about. Before we bring Casper up, real quick, though, events of the day. Big news, Cory Gardner.
Big news.
Came through.
Finally.
Sort of.
Sort of. He said he doesn't want any witnesses. Now, that's good. The problem is there may be four Republicans who do want witnesses. We won't know that for sure, I guess, until tomorrow. Right now, there's a kind of a indication that have witnesses from
both sides.
We're
talking about the impeachment.
Yeah, impeachment. Oh, yeah.
Right. Have you asked if there's anything else?
And there's Bolton, apparently, the book never got passage from the National Security Council. Got a letter even before it was leaked, saying, you know, you've got top secret information in here. You can't publish that. He's in Qatar, I guess, right now. So strange stuff. I mean, very strange. And Donald's been kind of hitting on him lately.
Said we would have started World War VI. hey, want to let folks know, Casper, as you know, always takes phone calls. You can call into the show, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And if for some reason you got a cut out early or you came in late and you want to catch other parts, remember, you can always catch the podcast at bbsradio.com/Chuck and Julie Show. Also, right now, we're live streaming it on Facebook, BBS Radio.
Facebook,
BBS Radio, yeah, and YouTube, BBS Radio. But if we can, guys, let's go ahead and bring up Casper Stockham. And this is kind of fun, too. Casper, we've interviewed you like a million times on the radio, but now we can get you, I think, video as well. So first off, thank you for taking the time to be on the show with us today.
Oh, it's good to be with you guys. Live and living color.
There we go, live and living. We're, by the way, you know, you have your flag, and you were telling us you do this all the time, and you've got your portable studio. We're here live from this is our office.
The massive library/office. We moved from the kitchen because a little reverb from it, but we'll see how this works.
We're just moving around. Yes, by the time we're done, everybody will have seen our whole house.
Yeah, we'll go to the bathroom, the basement, everything. They get to see the whole thing.
While we work out. Yeah. So Casper, let's start off first. I wanted to talk to you about what happened. Well, I guess maybe let's get your reaction to news of the day. First of all, you're running for Congress in CD6. What did you
against Jason Crow?
Against Jason Crow. What did you think of Jason Crow's performance as one of the House managers?
Yeah, so it's interesting because from the other side, you know, the Democrats think he's doing just a phenomenal job. I mean, they are so ecstatic about the job that he's doing. The challenge is, at the end of the day, Trump is not going to be removed from office, and this is going to go down as a sham impeachment.
Right.
So it's not going to look well for him to be involved with a process that winds up being so one-sided, so partisan. You know.
Well, he also didn't make, I think, locally. I mean, it didn't matter if Jerry Nadler making a fool of himself. He was great. And, right. And of course, Adam Schiff is a new Clarence Darrow, at least according to people on MSNBC. I must admit, Jason Crow didn't kind of break through. So everybody's going to talk about Jason Crow.
No.
I think he did. I'm sure he did an okay job, but it didn't sound like he made a breakthrough.
Right. What I'm calling for is that we need to actually raise the bar on impeachment.
Because
we have children running our country right now, and we need to make sure that that's not the case anymore. So I'm calling for a 2/3 vote out of the House before we even get an impeachment going on. Because if we had that in process, it would be bipartisan, and we'd make sure that it's really a reason to impeach the president. Getting that support and then take that over to the Senate.
Right. What about now, Cory Gardner? Finally, I guess he forgot to read the Denver Post this morning, which I don't blame him. After they not only didn't endorse him for this race for Senate, they unendorsed him previous. They took back their old endorsements, but they had this editorial saying you need to call for witnesses. And Cory Gardner finally came out today and said he did not need to hear any witnesses. He'd heard everything he needed to hear. Your take on that?
Yeah, I was happy to see that. I would love for Cory to be on top of all these things and be more forward with his comments. A lot of folks, the base of folks that I talk to, are not all that excited about Cory because they don't hear from him. They don't know what he's thinking and what's going on. I think
he'll tweet a lot about, you know, opening an office in Grand Junction, exactly. National Tomato Day, and a lot of other things. You don't get much inside or what he's really thinking or what's really going on in his
He's existing in a parallel universe to where none of this is going on. There's no impeachment going on.
We're just in happy land. So let's jump into then. One of the things we wanted to talk to you about is you had a great rally of conservatives at the Martin Luther King Day, the Denver City Marade, and the City Martin Luther King events last Monday. But once again, just like at the ICE rally that we all went to, and you went to that first one in the past summer, you got harassed again by Antifa thugs?
Yeah, so it's interesting because they've kind of stepped up their game a little bit. So we had masked youth, all white, carrying a Black Lives Matter sign and shadowing us in the MLK parade. And what's ironic about the whole thing is I'm a parade captain, which means that every year I go through special training and I'm given a special hat and a radio from the organizers of the parade so that if I see anything out of place, I can call into security and have them show up. So the organizers of the parade have entrusted me with that position for the past 7 or 8 years. So Antifa or Antifa, however you want to call it, they said that they were shadowing us to make sure that we didn't cause any problems.
Yeah, you bet. That's what Antifa always does.
Let's go back. Now, in case if people have the video up, they can see Casper is an African-American. But if you didn't, you might not know that. So let's go over it. So you are participating in the parade. You're a parade organizer. You've been
a captain. Yeah.
Right. You've been entrusted to do this. And you had these Antifa people following you and harassing you in case you caused trouble.
Right, right. So there was a group of about 50 of us. The GOP was represented. My campaign and volunteers were represented with T-shirts and signs and all that. And then we also had the Rocky Mountain Black Conservatives were there. And that's Derek Wilburn's organization.
Right.
So there were black, white, young, old kids. We had people in wheelchairs, the whole nine. There's 50 of us that were marching in a parade. So Antifa, once we started out, they quickly started to shadow us. And then once the Denver PD found out about it, the Denver PD started shadowing them.
Oh. You had a whole
parade.
So
you had an entourage,
is
what you're talking about.
We had an entourage. Now, here's what's even more ironic. They had a legal observer. I'm not even sure what that is, but this is somebody that supposedly knows the law.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, they were close by so that when an incident broke out, the legal observer could chime in and say, I saw this and I'm a legal observer. I'm a legal observer.
No, wait a minute, back up. So it was the Antifa people had the legal observer or the parade people?
No, this is Antifa.
Right.
Well, see, let me ask you this.
Was he the legal observer also in a mask?
We don't know because we never saw them. But
Well, I think here's the thing that, and you were, again, accosted, called horrible names at the ICE rally. What is it, do you think, that's going on with this? I mean, to me, this seems like this kind of harassment effort gets, like, worse. It gets more violent. They're trying to cause trouble, to spark an incident. I mean, what do you make of all of that?
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And they want to intimidate us into not showing up.
Right.
Here's what Republicans need to understand. The more we show up like that, the better off we're going to be. We're going to be able to win the narrative back. But we have to continue to press it and show up. But I got to tell you guys that, I'm not a prejudiced person, but if I see anybody follow me around in a mask, I'm assuming they're up to no good.
Yeah.
I think that's a safe assumption. Even if they're, particularly when you're surrounded by a bunch of them.
Well, especially if you're in all white, that brings certain images along, right?
Okay. But why are they allowed to do that in broad daylight with the cops literally 30 feet away? They were actually breaking a law by following us in a mask and harassing and shadowing us. They were actually breaking the harassment law.
Well, and what about this too? It seems like let's just flip this around, right? Let's just say that you guys were dressed in masks, right? And let's just say you were following some other organization around and you were harassing them and you were shadowing them and you told them, oh, hey, we're here to see if you cause trouble. Don't you think that that might get some coverage and don't you think you would be called out? I mean, it's the hypocrisy here and the double standard that bothers me particularly.
It would absolutely get called out. And that's why I'm not dropping the ball on this. I'm glad you guys have me on to talk about it. But I've been going on other shows talking about this as well. They're not going to continue to harass me as an American citizen, as a Black conservative. I don't care what their agenda is. They're not going to be able to continue to break the law without me pointing it out and calling them on it.
No, exactly. Exactly. Well, what about, let's talk about your campaign. You're running in CD6. You're a grassroots guy. We saw
you. You're in the primary right now with Steve House, who's an establishment guy. Used to be chairman of the Republican Party here in Colorado. Took the position, I'm not sure what he was, running with
Kim Buck,
the congressman. And they were trying together to and then he dropped out. He simply said, no, I'm going to run for CD6. So you've got a real fight on your hands. And how's it all going?
I think it's going well. You know, I have the support of the people. I have support of very prominent folks. You know, we won't get into all the people who've endorsed my campaign, but I have the people behind me. Now I am running against the establishment and they have money and they have the system, if you will, or the resources, but I have the people behind me. I'm very excited about the campaign. Our first quarter of this year, fundraising has been up quite a bit. In fact, I put out a thank you to the supporters of my campaign, because even though my opponent raised a lot more money than me, I have raised more from small donors than he has. In fact, I've raised double the amount from small donors than he has in this campaign. So,
well, there's an election in New Hampshire in which the establishment guy, which was McCain backer and had it for 12 years or longer, grassroots guys came up and it wasn't even close, they said. The grassroots guys won, so maybe that's a good harbinger for your campaign.
I feel very confident. You know, I'm glad there's going to be some forums coming up. In fact, on the 5th of February, we are meeting with the Arapahoe Republican Breakfast Club. We'll be meeting at Maggiano's Grill. We're going to have a forum, a candidate forum, our first one for the year. So I'm excited for the people to be able to see us side by side and see that I'm a Gulf War veteran. I'm 100% unhyphenated American, but I've also been in the community working, so I can garner the votes from unaffiliates and from soft Democrats and even the millennials, unlike any other candidate that's running in this race.
And, you know, I want to read, and I want to encourage folks to remind you, you can call in 888-627-6008 or go ahead and text me. Anil Mathai, our friend Anil, says he's listening in, Casper. Funny what the state party sent out yesterday. He put this up on his Facebook page. And we wonder why the Republican Party is dying off in Colorado. Forget platform principles. The state party is inviting people to a race discussion of white power. He says Colorado is done, not because of the communist Democrats, but because the Democrats have infiltrated and destroyed the Republican Party in Colorado.
They're doing what?
There's a special invitation confronting hate, violence, and extremism in the United States. Do they invite you to that, Casper? Yeah. Are you a speaker at this?
And I'm an expert on it. I get it.
Well, you know, we've talked about this before. Just a couple more questions. We'll let you go, because I know you have a lot of busy campaigning. But as you mentioned, you know, you've been in the community. You were the Republican chairperson in Denver, of all places, where you got, you know, I mean, almost impossible. You got people out to vote in Denver, the Republicans, as much as possible. I mean, you're out in the community all the time. I mean, you don't need some confronting hate forum or something like that.
Hate, violence, and extremism in the U.S.
Here's what the Republican Party, I think, Casper, needs to be doing, is knocking on doors, identifying the unaffiliated voters who are going to respond to us. And as you said, don't hold some forum that's going to be gone. I'm just going to guess a bunch of like fuddy-duddy middle-aged or older white people at this forum, right? They need to be out in the community like you are every day.
Yeah. No, it's actually embarrassing, because there are organizations that the party should be supporting or at least talking about. In these organizations like Walk Away, I'm on a Facebook discussion right now with folks from the establishment. I'm saying, look, if you don't recognize Walkaway, I get it that the guy that founded it is a gay actor or whatever, but Brandon has brought more straight people
right.
of the Democrat Party and led them to the Republican Party than anybody else in history right now. So Brandon, Candace Owens, Kanye West, Brexit, there's all these different organizations that are pulling people out of the Democrat Party. We should be reaching out to those people big time and inviting them into the Republican Party.
No, absolutely agree.
I'd love to see, rather than the usual suspects, having Candace Owen and having Strzok and others. And that would be a fun forum to go to, not just a bunch of prattling white people kind of saying, we got to fight the hatism of what, of who, exactly.
Here, Casper.
You know, the 80-year-old women who they've identified as a threat to their...
Yeah, this is from Barney Casper. He says, he's listening to me. He says, nice to hear you, Casper. He says, oh, Barney. He says, if you need a volunteer with the club, he would love to walk through the Antifa pukes, help you walk through. That's why we're on podcasting now, so we can say that.
We can say
it,
everyone.
listen, Casper, just, a couple more questions for you. In terms of, I think just so you didn't ask for this and maybe you're like, no, Chuck and Julie, that's okay. But I mean, we support you, right?
And that's nothing against Steve Hess. I mean, Steve answered my phone calls when I was in terrestrial radio, and I have nothing against him. I know some people do. I know Tom Pancredo and some people do, but I don't hold any grudges to him. But you've been there when it counted. You were there for 9/21, and you were there for Labor Day, and you were there at the North Jefferson County Tea Party meeting.
Right.
I mean, you've been there. I mean, you are fighting for the grassroots, with the grassroots, and you'll go anywhere, anybody will invite you, bring a few people into your living room.
I go to more Democrat meetings than I go to Republican meetings.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Well, let me ask you about that. I was reading a thing. So Trump had yet again a massive rally in New Jersey this last time. And one of the things the Trump campaign has told us, because we've, the RNC people and we've talked to them, is that at these rallies, what's astonishing is, which is why the Don Lemon and the CNN thing is such a joke, that they said roughly half the people there are either Democrats or unaffiliated voters and people who hadn't voted recently.
Yeah, it was 10.6%. Of the people, because I just looked at it, 10.6% of the people never voted in 2016. 26% of the people were Democrats, and then another big chunk were independents. So they're really reaching out. And the one in Wildwood, from the description, even for Fox, was saying this is a cut above all his other ones. I mean, talk about enthusiastic. Those people were enthusiastic. And that's just gaining and gaining and gaining, while the Democrats seem to be, having fun. Pete Buttigieg, apparently, his whole campaign has fallen apart as everybody's talking about microaggressions and they have to hire 60% people or 40% people of color. And they go, well, you're just another white dude. You're not, I'm not much person of color than anybody. I mean, they're just identity politicking themselves to death. So
what do you find when you talk to folks?
I've heard there was over 100,000 people at this last rally, either inside or outside or combined. So Trump gets it. He gets it time. And what I'm trying to do is help the Republican Party get it, because right now they don't. They are not following the Trump marketing strategy, if you will, whatever. They're not reaching out like Trump is. Trump is not leaving any votes on the table. And that's what Republicans need to be doing. I don't care what you call it. You want to call it identity politics or whatever you want to call it. Trump is going after the black vote. He's going after the Latino vote. He's going after the military vote. He's going after the gay vote.
He's going, if you can vote, he wants you.
Well, wait a minute. The Republican Party of Colorado is going after the no vote. I mean, no voters. I mean, it's just, you feel sorry for the Republican Party in Colorado.
No, I don't anymore. I used to. You sound like me. You sound like me now.
I'm softening up now in my old age.
I feel sorry for them, but I want them to wake up. Guys, we could win. This could be such a blowout in 2020 for Trump and the Republican Party, but we are way behind the power curve. This should have started in 19. Anil talks about this all the time. the race
should have started 16 in January or 17 in January. So, hey, listen, Casper, final question for you. Casper Stockham, Republican primary candidate in Congressional District 6. We got to beat Jason Crow. Where can people help you out? Where can they go to find out more about you?
Yes. So real quickly, they should get my book, The Great Black and Millennial Awakening. And that book lays out the plan for us taking our state back, taking our district back. They can go to just look up on Amazon, Great Black Awakening, or the Great Black and Millennial Awakening.
My website
is Casper4Colorado. It's the word for, F-O-R, Colorado.com. Casper4Colorado.com. We are looking for volunteers, so Barney and the rest of the folks.
With or without a club. Just a willing attitude. All right. Hey, Casper, thank you. I'm sure we'll see you at the next grassroots event.
Keep it up, Casper.
Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Guys, thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
All right, that's Casper Stockham.
Casper Stockham, he's everywhere.
He is everywhere. You go to any event and Casper's there.
You know, and I wanted the BBS radio folks said, okay, so if you're listening here, you can get us and watch it live on the bbsradio.com homepage. You can go to bbsradio.com/Chuck and Julie. We're all over the place on youtube.com at BBS Radio and on Facebook, BBS Radio. So if you're watching.
So it's a little confusing. You can't get the video if you go to bbsradio.com/Chuck and Julie Show because it's not there yet.
No, it is. That's what
No. It's at BBS Radio. It is not if you add the other one, then you get, I think this is right. I think you just get the blank
page.
I think
we're confusing people. I think we should, because it's.
Well, just go to BBS
Radio. Just go to bbsradio.com. And if you miss it in the podcast and everything will be up there too. Okay, so we're going to come up at 3:30 here in about 5 minutes. We're going to have Trevor Loudon on. He's a political commentator, political activist from New Zealand, wrote the book, The Enemy Within. He's speaking at a couple of events here in Colorado, one tonight in Greeley, another one tomorrow at Colorado Christian University in Lakewood. So he has been, I guess, researching the radical left for a long time. And
people who listen to Randy's show on Saturdays are familiar with Trevor. I mean, he's been a great guest on there.
Right, right. So I want to briefly talk. So Chuck, one thing, number one, I'm hoping, I mean, if Cory Gardner had, among anything, if he had said, no, I think I want to hear witnesses, we would have had to have Barney go talk to him, just like he might the Antifa people. Right. Yeah, it's like, so, I mean, why would you listen? And the Denver Post, the gall of the Denver Post, who, by the way, no one gets anymore, and you got to wonder why. So not only did they not endorse him, I mean, I get that, right? You don't expect the Denver Post to endorse
him. Well, they haven't endorsed or not endorsed.
But they unendorsed him. Remember, not that long ago, they took back, okay, we endorsed him previously in the past, we take that back.
Right.
So today they write an editorial saying, we deserve, Trump has totally screwed over the country. He's corrupt. All those debunked Ukraine theories. It's like, give me a break, debunked Ukraine.
Well, they lost all credibility once they fired John Caldera. Caldera because he wasn't sensitive enough describing transgender issues. And they had four small paragraphs. And what was insensitive was difficult to see other than the word transgender, which they apparently don't like. They didn't say which is the word you have to use. And then they invited other conservatives, as long as they'd be quote unquote collaborative. And what was the other one?
And Democrat. And a Democrat conservative. Give me a break. And so I'm glad to see that Cory Gardner did not listen to them and said he doesn't want to
have any witnesses. So they had George Brockler on this Sunday. And I love George, and he's a great guy and everything else. I think it's both, you know, a compliment to him that he, new columnist, and a bit of a shameful that because you're going in on the condition that they're going to change anything they don't like. You don't say it in their manner how they like to describe issues on any issue.
Then you're done.
Well, it's almost like, you know, why do Republicans and George is certainly one of the leading Republicans for future office. Why Republicans always bow down to the left is just hard to imagine. I mean, after they fired John Caldera just because he didn't use the right nouns that they prefer, no one else knows them.
Like the true, accurate nouns, by the way, male, female.
And so he wrote about, you know, they should suspend some Astro players. I mean, okay.
Well, here's the thing, and I love George Brocker too, but I think that is such a weaselly move on the Denver Post. And now, again, I don't blame George Brocker. Good for him. He's a great guy, deserves all the publicity he can get. But he is still the sitting acting district attorney of the 18th Judicial District. Right. So by its very nature, he's constrained, right? George Brocker can't, he's a district attorney, he's the acting DA, which is designed to be, and I think George does this very well, sort of a neutral, non-political position. So you're not going to ever see George Brocker taking massively strong conservative positions in an editorial in the Denver Post. I mean, he's got his other job to do first, maybe once he's not there.
But how is he supposed to know? I mean, he's conceding to them that if he should describe something inappropriately or just slightly not PC, they're going to change it. And he's happy with it.
Right.
Good for him, but wow.
Too bad for John. But at least good for Cory Gardner for saying that. Now, let me ask you this, because I also heard today, I was listening to Sean Hannity on the way home. We had want to do a shout out to the Greater Glendale Chamber of Commerce. They had an amazing membership appreciation award luncheon, which Chuck is on the board there. We got to go to that. Great luncheon there. But on the way home from that, I was listening to Sean Hannity. And Chuck, you said you knew a little bit more about this. There is apparently a poll out now in Utah. Mitt Romney, not the beloved son quite so much anymore.
Well, no, it was more that if he votes for more witnesses, 64% don't think that's good. They would hurt their ability to vote for him again when he comes up in, I guess, 22. And, you know, Romney can't be thrown out of Utah. I mean, I don't think anybody really cares. So maybe it shows that Utah Republicans don't particularly like it, but I don't think he's real wowed by that.
Hey, listen, we have now with us on the line Trevor Loudon. Should we go ahead and
tremendous.
Bring Trevor up?
Yeah,
okay.
Bring Trevor up.
I'm Trevor Loudon with us now. Hey, Trevor, thank you for joining the Chuck and Julie podcast show. You there?
All right, we're working on this.
Trevor? Well, I know the guy's there. Okay, theoretically we have Trevor on. Hey, in the meantime.
See his face, I think.
Okay, hey.
All right, there he is.
There we go, Trevor. Hey, good afternoon.
Hi, yeah.
Well, good afternoon here.
Good. My pronouns are he and him.
Oh, good, good. And they?
He and him. Humpty Dumpty. Hey, so you're speaking at a couple of events. Well, let's get that, promote that first out of the way.
And what you're going to be speaking about?
Right, tonight in Greeley and then tomorrow at Colorado Christian University. But I gather the topic, Vision 2020, I think this is good. Liberty or tyranny, right?
Liberty, well, I didn't hear that, sorry.
Oh, so what are you going to be speaking about tonight?
Well, basically the left's plans for 2020 and how we can counter them. You know, the Donald Trump Jr. said recently that the 2020 election will be communism versus freedom. And that's what I'm going to be talking about. And to basically say that he was correct.
Well, I think he is. I mean, you're having, you know, I don't know how you describe, Bernie describes himself as a democratic socialist. Others describe him as a Marxist. He certainly is a great admirer of Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, certainly of communist regimes all over the world. He spent his vacation, the good old his honeymoon, the USSR. So, you know, Biden, you know, hides things. He's not sure what he believes. Just elect him. Just please elect him.
No, Biden is pretty much as left as Bernie.
Right.
I've got a book coming out on March the 1st. It's going to be called White House Reds. And I profiled 10 Democratic candidates, all with Marxist backgrounds. And that's including Amy Klobuchar, that's including Joe Biden, that's including Pete Buttigieg, all the so-called moderates are Marxists.
You know, and what's funny,
the socialists are all communists, but the moderates are Marxists.
You know, and what cracks me up is there are all these socialist Marxists who, as we're reading from Peter Schweitzer's new book, are making like millions and millions are certainly exploiting the system. Marxists or communists or socialists, they're certainly using good old capitalism / corruption to get themselves richer.
Well, Hugo Chavez wasn't exactly short of a dollar, was he?
No, his daughter. His daughter.
All the leaders of communist states, the Castros in Cuba, were billionaires.
Right.
Well, right.
It's not about redistributing the wealth. This is taking and centralizing the wealth. So that, you know, Tom Steyer, you know, is a billionaire, but he works with Marxists. He has Marxists on his campaign. because it's all about centralized power for him. It's all about, you know, his ego using these people to change the world in his image. And, well, and they're all of that bent, virtually.
Well, it's nice that they're coming out, you know, because AOC and this climate change hoax, you know, they're not hiding it anymore. You know, no. All your cars are gone. Everything is gone. You're back to middle ages. We'll be okay. You know, you promised that Al Gore isn't going to be back in the middle ages, but now they're just saying it. And before, my plan is reasonable and it's every day. And you know, nobody can read the Green New Plans and say that isn't Marxism. I mean, it is.
Look, Stalin wouldn't have put that forward. He would have been embarrassed by it. Would have gone too far. You know, the Green New Deal would put everybody in labor unions. It would destroy the U.S. economy. It would destroy the U.S. military. It would destroy most of the wealth in the country. It would destroy everything that we hold near and dear and completely centralized power. But it's been promoted by most of the Democratic presidential candidates and over 100 members of Congress. Well, what does that tell you about the state of today's Democratic Party?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. You've been researching this and covering this kind of stuff for years. Why? What is their end game here, do you think?
Well, you know, some of them actually believe this garbage. You know, you got some of them who are straight up communists, like people like Barbara Lee, you know, Rosa DeLauro, right, and some others, they believe in communism.
Right.
But there are others who latch on to the movement, and to them, it's all about power. You know, these are guys who marched for the Viet Cong in the 60s, and they supported the Sandinistas in the 80s. And they're getting old, and they want to put their stamp on the world. They want their revolution before they die. It's a massive power and ego trip for them. If these people were in Nazi Germany in 1930, they'd all be in the Nazi Party because that's where the power was then.
We're talking with Trevor Loudon here, who's going to be speaking here in Colorado in the Denver and Greeley area coming up later, well, tonight and tomorrow. You know, let me ask you about this in terms of how dangerous this is, because, you know, you tend to think right now you look at stuff and a lot of people, maybe the middle-aged, middle-class, unaffiliated voters don't want socialism. But then we look in Denver, a woman, she has some good ideas in terms of neighborhoods, but Candy C. DeBaca, a newly elected city council person, is a self-proclaimed communist, makes no bones about it, and nobody cared about that. What in your mind is for the rest of us, you're the real danger here?
Well, that's right. See, they're not going to care about a local council person because what can that person do? But what they can do is get a whole bunch of their taxpayers' money and start giving it out to their friends, and then take over your local school board and then start indoctrinating your kids and drive up your taxes and drive up crime and drive property values out the bottom. And this is what's happening in San Francisco now.
Right. Right.
You know, filth on the streets because communists basically run the city. And they don't prosecute crime. They have homelessness. That's what can happen on the local level. And that's what will happen in Denver if these people get a real hold. But on the national scale, it's way, way more important.
But here's the problem people in Denver have, and it's problems they have elsewhere with Hillary Clinton and others, where your choice is a corporatist, you know, where they're ripping everybody off they can for the global international corporations and leaving the middle of the United States bankrupt and crushing everything, bringing it overseas. And they say, well, you can vote for that or you can vote for Bernie Sanders and the communists. And some will kind of go, well, you know, maybe Bernie's better than that awfulness.
Well, that's why we, on our side, we have to fly the flag of liberty. See, you know, the left are full on left. They're going full on communist now. But most of the Republicans are a bit like Cory Gardner.
You're right.
They're sort of middle of the road, don't really stand for much. And so people think, well, these guys stand for something. They really believe in what they're doing.
Right.
Maybe we should give them a go, or should we just vote for these wimps who sort of stand for not much at all? That's why we have.
Well, they stand for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
The U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
And here's a good point on that. See, what I was going to get at on the national scale, people don't realize just how close we are to a one-party state. And
right.
Yeah.
Democrats listening to this should be shuddering at that prospect. Now, the Chamber of Commerce wants the open borders because they want cheap labor, right?
Yeah.
That's their thing. And so they work with – now, the Democrats want open borders because they want to do what Hillary Clinton promised to do within 100 days of taking office. They want to give 22 million illegal immigrants citizenship and the right to vote. That will be 17, 18 million Democrats straight away. We will lose Florida, we will lose Texas, we'll lose Georgia, we'll lose North Carolina and Arizona. There will never be, ever, another Republican or conservative president in American history.
And that doesn't bother
party socialist state from then on.
And that doesn't bother the Koch brothers, who are always saying they're going to fry the, you know, the flag of liberty, and their flag of liberty is
Koch brothers.
They're a menace, those people, because you know they are selling. They do good things: lower taxes, lower regulations. They do a few good things, but their pursuit of immigration amnesty and the massive amount of money they put into it is national suicide for this country.
Right.
Now, they may think they can live in a gated community somewhere, but they will destroy everything good about America if they're allowed to do what they're trying to do.
And let me go back to something you were saying earlier, talking about, say, a Candy C. DeBaca on the local level, because we here in Colorado have experienced to a certain extent the brilliance of the Democrat Party with the Blueprint Colorado and the Colorado model, where they start local, right? And then, as you said, all of a sudden you got Candy C. DeBaca in, and then one of the first things she tried to do was to get her partner paid staff on her staff, right? And there was too much hullabaloo. Yeah. But in the meantime, you've got, you know, Denver school board members who are protesting, avowed communists. And somehow or another, no one in Denver cares. Like, oh, that's so cute because we're so tolerant. We take all types. But it's exactly like you said, they start local and then they expand it and they change, like they did here in Colorado, the voting laws, the election laws. And the next thing you know, Republicans can't win.
Well, this is what's amazing about Colorado. They get mail ballot to everyone, and then they have ballot collectors. And they overwhelm the entire system. And
the Democrats.
The Democrats. The Republicans don't even get it. You don't have the Republicans. No, we can't have this. They just go, okay, great. We can never win an election again. Good. That's okay. You know, could you give us a development here and for my friend here?
Yeah, that's how they think. They're not trying to win because, see, our side, we have certain ethics. We believe in fair play, playing by the rules, rule of law. The left... Now,
Who is we? The head of the Republican Party was elected on a crooked ballot where they took crooked proxies
in Colorado.
I mean, we as constitutional conservatives.
Okay.
That's
what I mean. You know, there are a lot of Republicans who are in it for the money. They're just in it for the business opportunities. Yes, that's true. But that's not who I'm talking about.
Right.
You know, I'm talking about the people who believe in the Constitution and believe in liberty. We play by the rules, you know, but the left, you know, see, the Democratic Party today now is a communist party, and their only ethics is winning and imposing power. So they will cheat, they will lie, they will steal, they will do everything they can to achieve what they want to do. So wimpy business Republicans are no match for those people, and so they will sell us out every opportunity.
But you have to understand... The establishment in Colorado for the last 5 years, they will lie, they will cheat, they will try to get you arrested like they did to Anil Mathai, they will rig votes. And so when people kind of go, well, the businessman guy, it's not the businessman because they're like the owner of the plantation. They have the managers go out there and do all the awful stuff. But here in Colorado, the establishment is just as crooked as the Democrats are. So if you're a Republican in Colorado, you got to, you know, oh, great.
Well, this is the thing, you know, you've got, no, I don't think those are corrupt, is it? See, the Democrats want complete power. The Republicans want to enrich themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's bad, but that doesn't destroy your country.
Yeah.
You ought to meet these guys.
No, but you know, you raise a good point here. And the other day I was talking to my brother who lives in Atlanta, and he was, you know, and he's a conservative, and he was saying, can you imagine how close we came? He said, what if Hillary Clinton, can you imagine what the country would be like right now if Hillary Clinton were president? So let me ask you, we're talking with Trevor Loudon here. Trevor, what, you know, the speech that you're talking about here in Colorado is freedom, liberty, or tyranny. How significant do you put this 2020 election, and go back to, I like what you were saying about, and the Democrats, there are no rules, you know, we don't need to talk about impeachment rules and this and that. For them, I believe you're right, there are no rules to winning.
Yeah, well, look, every election they say that this is the most important election of our lives.
Right.
This one is.
Yeah.
If we lose this next election, the Democrats will legalize 18, 20, 30 yes. million illegal immigrants, and yeah. that's it.
Yeah.
Right.
There is no comeback from that. This no. is our last meaningful election if we lose it.
Yes.
If we win, we have a chance of saving the country. You know, we're energy independent now. Trump might get another good conservative on the Supreme Court. Taxes are coming down. There's a whole bunch of positive things that could accrue from this election. But if we lose it, and the only way we'll lose it is through complacency. If we lose it, we have only ourselves to blame for turning our kids into slaves.
That's what will happen. Let me ask you about the national popular vote, too. We have a friend who's a Democrat strategist, right? And we're going back a few years ago now. And I remember we had him on our radio show, and we were walking out of the studio together. He was flying to California for a secret mission that he didn't really want to talk about. But it was national popular vote. And I kind of jokingly said, oh, are you going to try to take away our right to vote? He goes, no. We just want to make every vote count. I mean, to me, that is an insidious thing. That's one of the things, again, they do. They start local. So in Colorado, they have the legislature went ahead and passed national popular vote, right? Get rid of it. Get rid of the electoral college, rather.
Right.
And now it's on the ballot. But I think that's another insidious thing they do where if you're not paying attention,
absolutely.
It sounds good.
Look, if the Democrats, I don't even call them Democrats. If the Marxists get their way, they would have 10-year-olds voting and they'd give them ice creams to vote.
Yeah.
You know, because they want to dumb down the vote and widen the franchise so much and dilute the conservative base that we can never win any more elections. So the national, you know, the founding fathers were very smart. They realized that big cities tend to dominate country areas. So what are we going to do? We're going to divide the country up, and we're going to give the small states more power than the big states. We're going to give the country areas proportionally more power than the city areas. And so, you know, you've got Delaware, which is a tiny little state, that has two senators, just like New York and California do. That was part of their program. But the Electoral College was designed to give the rural people in Colorado and Wyoming a say in government and not be dominated completely by, you know, the big populous states. And that was a great system. It's not pure democracy because the founding fathers understood that pure democracy always leads to tyranny.
Right.
The will of the majority will always lead to tyranny eventually. So they diluted pure democracy, and now the Democrats are trying to overturn that so they can have pure democracy, which will lead to tyranny.
Right. No, and they're sneaky about it, right? Our friend, they were quietly
Absolutely.
Going state by state because they didn't want people to figure it out, right? And you just get one Democrat-controlled legislature. It goes back to what you were saying earlier. They take over state by state by state, and pretty soon.
But they're also smart. They would take legislators down, Republican legislatures down to huge resorts in Jamaica and the Caribbean. Fed them for, you know, a week and stuff and send them back. And they'd all go, no, this will help Republicans.
This is
a pro-Republican thing. This will give voice to the rural communities. I mean, it's amazing how you can buy off people.
I know, and that's why people have to be versed in constitutional principles and versed in how to keep freedom. Because the lies are coming at you all the time. There are con men out there on both sides of the fence, and they're just trying to scam us. But it is you know, people look at it, this beautiful country, and you can still watch football on, you know, and you still got a job and the restaurants are full. That could flip in 6 months.
Yes.
You know, you imagine if the Democrats got in again, they legalized every single illegal immigrant in the country. They made criticism of Islam illegal all over the country.
Sure.
They came after the churches, which they're going to do. They shut the conservative churches down. The economy would tank almost instantly. There'd be mass unemployment. There'd be civil unrest, and the Democrats would clamp down. You could have a one-party state, a serious one-party state within a year or two of a bad election.
Well, just think what Elizabeth Warren...
No chance to overturn it.
Well, you know, you should look what Elizabeth Warren, I'm sure you probably heard it. She wants this national independent group within the Justice Department to investigate only Trump and anybody in his cabinet and Trump's children. An independent one, that's Marxist. I mean, you just kind of go, okay, this is a special one that'll go against just Republicans. Not against me, of course, but just Republicans, just Trump. And as one, and then she goes, oh no, it'd be an independent commission. It'd be okay. I mean, that's the mentality of Elizabeth Warren and all the rest of them.
Look, we have to confront the fact that these people are totalitarians.
Yes.
Like Kathy Castor from Tampa, the congresswoman, who just loves Cuba like a chocolate. She is, she is calling, basically trying to make Facebook and YouTube ban any videos that oppose climate change.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so what they don't even reference the First Amendment.
Oh, no.
The First Amendment is like we used to always think, well, it was the Second Amendment they were coming after. They wouldn't dare go after the First Amendment. Well, now they are.
Right.
Absolutely going after the First Amendment.
I mean, look what they're doing with the impeachment thing, right? It's like they don't care. They even admit anymore, really, we don't care. And it cracks me up, although it dismays me sometimes, the Senate, they're ponderously somber. Like, right, we've been listening. It's like, why did you listen? It was all a joke. There was nothing there to begin with. As you said, Trevor, they don't play by the rules. They don't care about the rules. They just want to win. And the more Republicans are wimpy and say, well, we're going to follow our rules, and somehow that makes us better while we, like, go down, you know, the tube in history, I just don't get.
Trevor, who do you want
if every Republican fought like Trump did, he would smash them.
Yeah.
Well, who do you want on the other side? I want Bernie. Not that I think he's the easiest to beat. I think Biden would be a lot easier to beat.
But Bernie would be the easiest to dispatch, or probably Elizabeth Warren would probably be the easiest to dispatch. But
you get your choice with Bernie. Bernie doesn't hide anything. I mean, he says, I am going to make this a Venezuela. I am going to take over everything. But him, there's no middle ground. You get stuck. Do you want freedom or do you want tyranny? And it's pretty clear with Bernie.
But the only thing that says Bernie's got a bigger base than Elizabeth Warren. She'd be easier to defeat. But look, and I hope people will go to my website, TrevorLoudon.com, because they can pre-order the book there of White House Reds, and that's got 5,000 word profiles of Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and Tom Steyer and Amy Klobuchar and Pete Buttigieg and others, and every single one of them has Marxist backgrounds, extensive Marxist backgrounds. So it doesn't really matter who wins in a way, because they're all basically going to push the same agenda.
Right.
The only real difference is which one can we beat the most easily. And, Bernie or Elizabeth would probably be the easiest to beat.
I'm not sure Bernie would be easy to beat, but at least the choice is stark. You know, you can't be fooled by it. You know, it's just right there in your face. If you want tyranny, vote for Bernie.
That could be the slogan.
Well, you do. And Trump is running against socialism, which is very wise.
Yes.
Because, you know, like I've seen surveys, you know, like polls where if Trump was up against a generic Democrat, he would level peg, maybe lose by a point, win by a point. But if he's up against a Democrat clearly identified as a socialist, he wins by 8 to 10 points.
Right. Well, and as you said, that's why they need to. That's why they need to change.
Socialism, communism. Hit it. And that's what the wimpy Republicans won't do. It's right there for them. The Republicans, they call us white supremacists and Nazis and fascists. And we call them liberals and progressives. They are communist people. They are communists and socialists and totalitarians. And that's what we should call them. And when we do it, the American people will not balk at that. They will agree.
You're absolutely right. Well, Trevor, listen, we're going to let you go because I know you're speaking. If people are listening live tonight in Greeley.
Yeah, in Greeley tonight at 7 o'clock, I'm a double feature with Jim Simpson. That's the Destiny Christian Center, 1019 10th Avenue, Greeley. So okay. Destiny Christian Center, 1019 10th Avenue, Greeley. And tomorrow night, I'm at the Colorado Christian University in Lakewood, and that's $17 per ticket, that one. That's 7 till 9 as well. They're both 7 till 9 events.
Okay, great.
Okay, perfect.
All right, Trevor, hope people go out and listen to you.
Yeah, thank you for your time. Yep. Thank you for fighting the good fight.
Always a pleasure, and I'm sorry I didn't address you by your correct pronouns.
Okay. He's Chuck, I'm Julie, so there you go. All right, thank you, Trevor. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
And if you didn't catch that, I know you can go to mycoloradogop.org. There, they have all the information on their website, too.
Okay.
So we got about 5 minutes. We still have time if people want phone calls. 888-627-6008. We've got Barney on line one. First, I want to read Anil, though. Anil, thank you, Anil. Trevor is a patriot. He's speaking the truth. That's absolutely correct. But let's go ahead and bring Barney right now. Hey, Barney, thanks for calling.
Hello, Julie. Hello, Chuck.
Hello.
Wow, don't be so down, Chuck.
I know.
Come on, you've been up so good.
I know, Chuck has been cheerful.
Yeah. Could we please leave Amy out of this Marxist conversation? I think I got a shot with that woman. That is a woman who will break your windshield and slash your tires, chase you down the road in your boxers. Just leave her out. We know she doesn't have a chance. But anyway, Julie, I was listening to, this is what I would have liked to have said to Trevor. Trevor, you're right, but we have so-called conservatives like Hannity telling us on a national radio show that everybody loves Cory Gardner. Oh,
boy, did you hear that? You heard that too?
Loves who?
Yes, I didn't.
Okay.
I wanted to. Go ahead, Julie.
I was going to bring that up earlier, but I didn't want to send Chuck off the deep end. So you can go ahead. You can tell him now. We're almost at the end of the show.
Okay, Chuck. You know how what I feel about Hannity? Basically come out and said, oh, no, Cory, everybody loves Cory Gardner. And boy, Cory come out and really said, hey, we're not going to have vote on witnesses. He just really, you know what? It made me want to puke. And this is our problem. You've got Sean Hannity telling the rest of the world that Cory Gardner is just a stand-up conservative, and he's not. So it made me want to puke. And when you said that, Julie, I went at the first of the show, you were talking about it. But, well, it is what it is, but I love this Trevor guy. He's pretty much spot on. He really is. But let's leave Amy out of this. I want to have a shot. You guys run her out of town. Man, my tires don't get slashed. So
I was going to say, she looks like she might be challenging, should we say that. Hey, Barney, thank you for calling her.
Guarantee you. Love you guys. See you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Barney. Earlier, Joy texted us. So, hey, I want to apologize to folks. A couple of things. The lighting has been kind of funny in here. We're trying different locations. So much for live, being on live. And it was cloudy when we started the show, and the sun keeps coming out. So.
And I racked up my knees, so I'm constantly jittering the table.
We're not having earthquakes here. So we're working on all that. We'll get it all worked out. I think the important thing is that we're here. We've had such nice response from people saying, can we listen to you? We miss hearing you. You know, the whole thing we want to do here is speak the truth, right? And kind of take the spin out of stuff, as Sean Hannity says, even though he doesn't always do that. He did say that. But, you know, I think, thank goodness.
I guess he's hoping Cory will get reelected. And it's every establishment where he's going to be better than Hickenlooper. And you have to say that's true.
That's true.
Except he doesn't try to win. He's not going to do what he needs to win. And so, you know, best of luck.
Here's what I have, what I want folks to know too, and this the folks at the DNC, the RNC told us earlier, and we've only got a couple minutes left here, Tug, but they said, you know,
fast,
I know.
We don't have 3 hours anymore. That's terrible.
They said,
but we're going to 3 days a week.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
Let me finish my thought.
Okay.
Now I completely lost my train of thought.
Oh,
I know. Well, just that, you know, we need to continue to fight. We have to be more like Trump. We can't roll over. If Cory Gardner, you know, they're doing polling that shows that this whole witnessing impeachment thing, people are sick of it. That, I guarantee you, is the main reason that Cory Gardner finally said, I don't want to hear any witnesses. The polls, I bet internally, they aren't going to tell them to us, but this is my guess. Internally, the polls have reached a tipping point, and the Republicans are realizing, okay, the American people don't want witnesses. They just want to end this. And I think that puts Mitt Romney in a bad spot. I mean, spot. But I mean, I think it makes it harder for him to be like the lone guy.
No, it doesn't.
He'll be like John McCain, go like that at the wrong moment. So,
exactly.
You know, I want to let folks know we are next week, and we'll get straightened out on how to listen to us, and I'll put it all out there. The guys at BBS Radio are doing a great job.
They're great.
All over the place. You can live stream us at 4 different locations, essentially Facebook, YouTube, BBS Radio homepage, and then the Chuck and Julie page. Thank you to Joy Overbeck, who texted us. She's figured it out. She and Jan Cook are going to become our social media managers, I think.
Next week,
we're going to go to 3 days a week. So we will be back again on Monday.
Yay.
We've got the caucuses. You know, I want to also, one other thing to remind folks, that Colorado does have the open primary, which was a trick by the Democrats to try to rattle Republicans. But you need to be registered as a Republican, I think by the 14th, and somebody can correct me for the next show if I'm wrong, in order to participate in the caucus.
Right.
Okay. And the caucus in Colorado is still where it starts. If you want to have a grassroots impact, if you want to try to take the party
now,
back,
I mean, let's at least take whatever's left of the Republican Party and take it back.
Right.
And have the Central Committee no longer be the committee for the establishment. And you know, the best we can. And I plan to go and try to get people elected who are going to fight the good fight.
Thinking of maybe going to the convention.
Maybe
I'll go to the convention.
You can go to the convention. Or are there other good people who want to go to the convention? It's fine with me. But I don't want to have it just the usual. And I don't know which side I think. I'm established.
All right,
that's March 7th, but you need to, a lot of us do the Catiline conspiracy so we could, you know, go either side. But you know, if you're going to do the caucuses,
you got to go in. And it's real easy. Just go to
30 seconds.
Yeah.
Go vote.
Colorado vote. Go vote Colorado.org. You can just look it up. Secretary of State's office. Literally, it just takes.
Go vote Colorado.
Even Chuck and I could figure it out. So you can figure it out too. Hey, thank you for everybody for listening. Go ahead and check us out on YouTube, Facebook. As our little boy Rev says, tell everybody to like and subscribe to you. So go ahead and like us and subscribe to us. Whatever that means. And thanks again to the good folks at BBS Radio for helping us put this on.
Thanks everybody who's following us. We loved our listeners before. We certainly greatly appreciate all of you listening and being part of it.
All right. That'll do it for us today. See you on Monday.